saw could be reported upon. There are some exceptions, because that is the nature of lived life. And also, I couldn't resist.
Introduction. For much of the last 20 years, going to parties in New York City has been my job. I have stalked them as a gossip writer for the New York Daily News, flown to them by helicopter for Vanity Fair and Town and Country magazines, and just now I write a column about them in the New York Times. As writing goes, it ain't Proust Spear. But I love the challenge of entering a room and uncovering the story that lies beneath the surface of each specific combination of people and place. The job requires the skills of a critic, detective, interviewer, and humorist, all balanced like a tray of mismatched glasses. It has also provided a unique perspective on the political and cultural evolution of New York. Parties are a public performance space, and there is no better stage to watch as old taboos and pieties die out and new ones take their place. The broader fault lines in the culture over the past two decades are well known. As income inequality worsened around the turn of the 21st century, a very few individuals amassed fortunes that exceeded any others in history. In New York, wealth once again became a public spectacle in a way not seen since the Gilded Age. But this time, something was different. As the millennium turned, the rich began to perceive a value in publicity that previous generations of the American upper class, which modeled their reserve on old-world Protestant aristocracies, had rejected as vulgar. Publicity, after all, was a means to celebrity. And that realm belonged to the beautiful idiots who toiled in show business, long considered an inferior caste. But for the new ultra-wealthy, money was no longer enough. Now, they wanted a claim to go along with it. So, the rich rebranded themselves as famous. I did more than just watch this phenomenon. As an agent of the media, which had an interest in pumping up the spectacle, I helped push the whole show forward. And what a show it was. No longer, as the old maxim went, was it acceptable for the elites to have their name appear in the newspaper only three times: upon their birth, their marriage, and their death. Now, nothing less than the front page would do. But what, exactly, were they hoping to achieve? The rich already enjoyed all the advantages that a capitalist society had to offer. So what else could they hope to gain by also being famous? The answer, quite simply, was more of everything. In fin de siècle America, traditional 20th century battle lines between the lower, middle, and upper classes were being redrawn. In the 21st century, more citizens were concerned about the growing gulf of opportunity between the putative 99% of working Americans and the so-called 1% who were reaping benefits at the top. Inside the snow globe of money that is New York City, however, even that view was quaint. Here, all the friction was happening within the 1% itself. In the arms race of the 1 versus the 0.1 versus the 0.01%, celebrity conferred three distinct benefits: more status, more money, and more political power. Humans, as a hierarchical species, value the bump in status that fame provides. That renown could also be further monetized, adding to the elite's key competitive advantage. And fame, which, after all, is a popularity contest, thrives on a parallel track to democracy. As the liberal establishment learned to its horror in the 2010s, celebrity can be weaponized to hijack the supply of information, win elections, and control governments. Who wouldn't want to be famous with all that on the line? All you need to enjoy the spoils is to dispense with the vulnerability of shame. Shame is a useful word, because it covers everything from modesty to social embarrassment to remorse for serious wrongdoing. I mean all of those things when I say that in 21st century New York, shame has become culturally obsolete. Many writers examine our current moment of inequality through the experience of those it hurts the most. Millions of people are in debt and face a lack of dependable employment, barriers to accessing education and health care, and vulnerability to political interests that want to restrict voting rights. But I